Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Comic Book Club. You have Justin and Pete here.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So we were recording our show, and the beginning got very cut off. And we want to take a little moment, because this is our last show of 2018, which is the year we're in right now. And Pete wanted to just give a special message.
Yeah, so the show prior, we were asked about things that we love about the show. And we talked about how we love performing together. And I love performing with you guys.
Love. Pete said love.
But I also want to say one of the main reasons that the show has gone on for so long and we have loved doing it is also the fans, the people who come see the show. People travel from different countries to see the show.
Different countries.
Yeah. Also, people in the audience who make it a point to come and see the show means a lot to us. There was also that one girl who came all the way over with her family and made her whole family see the show. And she later told us that, you know, everybody got to do one thing in New York City and her thing was to come see Comic Book Club. And it was hilarious to see her family miserable.
But, I mean, I wouldn't say miserable.
Well, she, you know, they weren't, it wasn't their thing.
But we're fun. We're fun people.
She made her whole family come, so it was pretty awesome. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to Boothman, who was a fan of the show and then became our tech and was Boothman for a long time. So thank you, James. Kenny Cords. A lot of amazing people over the years who've really helped our show. So thank you, and I'm sorry if I didn't mention you individually, but it really means a lot that you guys support us. Oh, and also, now back to our show, already in progress.
Yeah.
I just had one question for you, Pete.
Sure.
Did you say anything after I had a fun time working with you guys? Because that's where I kind of stopped.
Oh, okay, yeah. No.
That seemed like the pinnacle, like the height of what you were going to say.
Yeah, I think when I heard you say that, I went into full body shock.
Okay.
So like, I was so surprised by that I haven't heard anything either.
Anyways, to celebrate...
I think I'm bleeding internally.
Us... over years, I brought champagne for us.
Oh, that's very nice.
Very nice. And over the next hour, you can watch us drink a bottle of champagne.
I brought enough cups for everybody. Cups for everybody.
We're going to see IDs, and you guys can really talk about what makes it. You don't have your ID, okay?
Everybody looks old enough.
Everyone looks old. Yeah. That's not a compliment to say to your
audience. That's not a compliment.
Very old. I got to tell you, I started to get a little sad at the point where they stopped IDing me in bars.
I still get ideas.
Do you?
But I often have like a hat on and askew, and they're like, who's this idiot?
And you're always kind of wondering and be like, hey, mister.
Yeah,
like,
I'm a
child. Hey, can I come in?
Yeah.
I like beer.
Yes, I do like beer. But you know what I like more than beer?
What?
Our guest.
Oh, hey!
I can do it.
Of course, we will pop some champagne as soon as we bring our amazing guest out. But she is a performer and actress about town. You may have seen her in many, many things that we will talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, Kima Lu!
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for coming.
Have a seat, have a microphone.
Kim. Like a responsible actress, you have a bottle of water.
Yes.
We're about to just drink alcohol.
Thank you so much for coming here. Justin is going to open some champagne for our audience.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me on your anniversary show,
you
guys.
No problem.
I'm honored.
And I'd be happy to pop open that bottle of water of yours as well, if you like.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Pour it out for you if you want to taste it.
I could use a strong man to open it.
You don't have that. Unfortunately, you don't have that here.
There's other shows after this one, if you want to check this out.
Okay, good.
Kim, thank you so much for coming. So you... We were talking about this a little bit before the show. You started reading comics as an adult. Like, you were not as a kid obsessed with comics, right?
I remember I'm one of five kids. I have three brothers and my two older brothers, I remember, would read, like, Spider-Man and Superman when I was growing up. But I was much younger than them. Woo! Opa!
Hey.
Foley work there. Sound work there.
But yeah, my oldest brother is 11 years apart from me. So it was just like we were growing up in two totally different worlds. And then as an adult, I picked up Paper Girls, which is one of my favorite comic books still. I love it so much. And ever since then, I joke it's an expensive hobby because it really is. You can just get caught up in buying dozens and dozens and stories and books and... You know.
So what drove you, though? What drove you to go from, I don't read comics, to picking up Paper Girls? Was that the first one you picked up?
No, I definitely had picked up others There's one called Teeth, which is a single. Which I really enjoyed. And
that's a fucked up comic.
Yeah. but yeah, there's just like I feel like I picked up some just kind of throughout like college years. I was living in L.A. at the time, and I hated it, and I didn't like driving, and I had very few friends, and because I didn't have a coke habit, so you know, you pick up the other addiction, which is comic books, and so I kind of just started reading different things here and there. I can't recall what the first one was, but Paper Girls always sticks out, and Chew is another one that really sticks out.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I enjoy those a lot.
Did you, since you were in L.A., did you have a home comic book shop?
I did not. I would frequent like secondhand shops a lot because, you know, I was broke working at a diner. So, you know, you just kind of find like the penny comics or whatever. You would just kind of hold up at a library and read what they had there. I think that's where I found Teeth, actually, was at a library. I didn't have anything else to read that day. So I
found
like,
Teeth
oh.
at a library once, but it was not a comic. Cool.
Yeah.
So talk about Paper Girls, though. You love Paper Girls. What specifically is it about that book that obsesses you?
It's a group of 12-year-old protagonists. It's about a group of girls who have a paper out. Thank you so much. And they end up in this like crazy time traveling world. And it's really about friendship and adventure. And it just, yes, cheers, boys.
Cheers,
everybody.
Thanks for coming out.
All of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then this is our champagne anniversary. Yeah, here, 13 years. Lucky
and this is Pete got this, so this is going to be a real a high end. How now much did you spend?
It's weird. It says bottled by.
You can ask me how much I spent.
Bottled by the LePage family in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
Only the best.
Rochester, not known for its wine country, really.
They have great grapes. Great grapes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is the garbage plate in champagne.
Oh, that's a compliment.
From the garbage plate region of upstate New York.
Really, Pete, thank you for getting that.
Alex, it's pronounced garbage.
Garbage.
So back to Paper Girls.
So I just, you know, I love anything that is a positive influence on, like, the next generation. I love that it's a story of, like, four 12-year-old girls who go on this crazy adventure that's driven by trying to rescue one of their friends at first and then trying to save another one of their friends. And it just, it kind of continues. And there's 25 issues so far, and it's just wonderful. And I love it. And everyone in my family is getting a copy of it for Christmas. Because I think it should be taught in middle schools. I love it so much.
Oh, great.
That's great. Since you've become obsessed with Paper Girls, have you branched out into other stuff from Brian K. Vaughan or Cliff Chiang or anything?
Not yet. I've just been like rereading and obsessing because it's also just stunning. The colors are beautiful. Yeah. The artwork is incredible. They kind of create like this fake language that you have to decipher, and I'm in the process of trying to do that in this most recent read-through because I'm just so obsessed. But other than that, I mean, I really love Chew, the series Chew. I'm like maybe 5 or 6 issues into that so far, and it's just a wild... I'm an actor, so I read these, and anything that kind of feels like it could translate to a TV show or a movie, like Happy, I think, is another one that just recently got turned into a TV show on Sci-Fi. And I love that comic series as well. It's just fun to be like, oh, I could see how they could maybe film this, and this would translate really well in the telling of a television series. So
yeah, they just put Happy on Netflix, which I was happy
about. I saw
about.
That, yeah.
I'm happy about it.
Have you rewatched it, Pete?
Oh, yeah, that's a great, great show.
Christopher Maloney is a treasure. Yeah. I love him so much.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Do you know him?
Well, I don't know him personally, but a friend of mine...
You just said
don't
it like
lie.
You do.
Yeah. You guys are bros.
Well, I have a story of someone who does know him that he was in this movie, like a sort of an indie comedy with some friends of mine, and he was like... they were like, okay, when how would you like to travel here? And he was like, just mail me a check for my airfare. And he flew himself to Missouri to the set.
So like he flew the plane?
He flew his own plane, but he still was like... mail me the check for what my airfare would have been, and I'll handle flying myself to a local airfield, and then I will show up on set at my call time.
Wow. That's kind of a scam.
Yeah, he's making money. He's profiteering. But it doesn't matter. The money's to make him show up, and he was like, I'll show up whenever.
Or you can say, don't worry about the airfare. I'll fly myself.
But that's what is cool about it. He's like, no, I want my money.
Is that cool?
I mean, who's fueling the plane?
Yeah, exactly.
He has cost. There is overhead.
Yeah, Maloney's got overhead.
Yeah.
You know he's got overhead.
That Law and Order money can only last for so long.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So what? Plug your stuff. What should people check out?
I keep getting this caught like a nerd. Check out my website, aluwho.com, aluwho.com. I do a ton of improv, as Pete knows.
Nice.
And
he's famous for his improv.
Yes, he is. He's very funny.
He is.
He's a very funny man.
I'm just starting to realize it.
It's taken 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah. Finally coming through. So check out my stuff. I have shows all the time. I actually have a show here tomorrow night at 6 o'clock called The Speed of Life, and it's a experimental long-form improv. And we incorporate music, and it's funny at times, but it doesn't stray away from the serious, so it kind of feels like you're watching a one-act improvised play a lot of the time.
Cool.
Yeah. All
right. Very cool. Definitely check all of that out. And we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah. So many comics.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that we particularly liked that came out this past week. First one, Detective Comics number 994, people.
Nice. Really.
They're almost there. Almost up to issue number 1,000. Justin, you really like this book.
I do. This is just taken over the writing duties by Peter J. Tomasi, one of my favorite writers at
DC. Yeah, you're a Tomasi
I'm a real Tomasi guy.
Yeah.
And Doug Monkey is on the art, and it's just great Batman stuff. Tom King is doing a great job in the other Batman title, but this Peter J. Tomasi always adds like sort of an edge to it in a great way, and This issue is about they find Commissioner Gordon and Batman find some bodies. It's an exact replica of where his parents were found.
Yeah,
It's very cool. And then there's a whole other story that is going to weave in and out. I'm very excited for this run.
What did you think about this, Pete?
I mean, what's interesting is like the Batman's parents thing has been done almost too much. So
what
this
do you mean? What happened to his parents?
My point exactly. But, I liked it. It was an interesting twist. It wasn't like, let's say a Spider-Verse thing where they just did the same joke over and over.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
Spoilers, please. Wow. Spoiler alert.
Pete, the only person who's a hater of Spider-Verse.
I know. I thought it was a great movie, but me and Zalvin disagree on this one part, and I just wanted to make him
angry.
Let
me just say you and America disagree on it.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Zalvin represents America.
We've taped a bunch of podcasts today already.
Yeah.
We talked about Spider-Verse also in real life as human beings.
Yeah.
You record all of your conversations, though, right?
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah.
We almost do.
Yeah, we kind of do.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But what I found out, and this was kind of interesting, you might be interested because you were saying you're a fan of Pete's comedy. Pete doesn't understand the rule of threes.
Understand the rule of threes. When
we were talking about Into the Spider-Verse, he brought up this thing where he's like, this is bad comedy.
Oh my God,
Pete's
standing up,
guys.
Really, really solid rule of threes.
Calm down.
It doesn't matter if it's a rule of three or not.
You are beat red. You need to breathe. Remember your exercises.
Dumb joke. The first time doing it two more times doesn't make it all of a sudden smart.
Pete, you have to breathe.
You're the star of trivia, not the star of
this. Oh my God.
So you sit down.
I hate you.
You sit down.
This way, I tried to be nice. I came out here and I tried to be nice to you guys. Oh my God.
By the way, Pete, could I have a little more of the champagne? I finished mine.
Yeah, help yourself.
Okay,
help
great.
Yourself.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
It's funny, actually. This is in terms of the Spider-Verse thing, this is the third time we've had this conversation.
Exactly. It's fun.
It hasn't gotten any better.
It's got better.
It's not funny now.
Yes, it's heightening. It's heightening because you're getting angrier each time.
Oh my God.
It's heightening perfectly.
Well, anyway, subscribe to our Patreon only podcast to get more on that. Did you have a chance to check out this issue, Kim?
I did. I don't want to give away the end of the issue, but it was a cool little twist at the end there. And it definitely made me want to pick up the next one already.
Are you a Batman fan at all?
Yeah, I definitely love the reboot that they did. Christopher Nolan's reboot, Dark Knight, obviously. Everybody freaks out over that. I never have read the comics personally, but this issue kind of made me want to dive into maybe some of the universe a little bit.
Okay, gotcha.
Get involved.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Let's move on to another one. This is Pete's pick, Murder Falcon number 3.
Yeah!
I'm so happy.
Oh, my God.
Now I gotta
Murder
say,
Falcon!
Pete, this is your favorite comic, I
yep.
think. And I know that because Pete's wearing a homemade T-shirt that
Murder
he made
Falcon
of Murder Falcon.
That's right.
Now, let me ask you, before you get into the review of the comic, I just have a couple quick questions. When you, how did you make this shirt and why?
So I read the first issue and I was so touched and moved that I was like, oh my God, I want to wear a t-shirt of this because I feel like this comic is really going to be something great. Mm. And so I want to celebrate it. So I took two of my favorite panels from the comic and made it into a t-shirt.
And the ultimate expression of love, of course, is making a t-shirt of something.
I mean, some people believe that.
I think that's okay. That's definitely true.
I misspoke.
Yeah. But in this issue, what's great is each issue they're kind of forming this band to take on evil. And we get the drummer in this issue. And if you're a fan of metal, you're also a fan of the drum solo. And this might be one of the greatest drum solos ever, epic drum solo. Really fantastic. We've been kind of wondering why the main character kind of broke away and had some problems with the band. We kind of get the full story here. It's a very touching, amazing story. Yeah. And the fact that friends can forgive each other after a lot of years of bullshit is, I think, something that we can all learn from.
Impossible, Peter.
Don't touch me.
Okay. I forgive you.
Don't touch me.
I forgive you.
That's not how this goes.
I forgive you. I forgive you,
Pete. That's not how this goes.
Okay, I thought that's what we were doing.
I'm curious to hear what you think about it, because we know Pete is a mega fan. How are you feeling about this series?
I like this issue a lot. It's good. It definitely feels... We've talked about this a lot over the years of comics and music and how it's sort of... There are a lot of comics that incorporate music or are about music, and it's hard to cross those genres because music is so outside of the medium, and this, I think this book does a good job of showing the percussive nature of the drums and just like a band that sticks together. My only question is, what's with the Falcon?
What do you mean?
What's with it's about a band who's coming back together, so why is there a Falcon, a murder Falcon?
The murder Falcon was the first animal to help them fight evil. Each member of the band gets an animal that embodies their goodness that they fight evil with.
But there's only a Falcon so far.
No, there's each... The drummer has that giant monster that comes out.
Oh, I thought that was the bad guy.
Well, there is the bad guy, but then when she's playing, the giant monster shows up and takes out the other monster. Yeah, so each member's got their own kind of thing.
Right. I guess, to Justin's point, though, only one of them has an animal. The other two have monsters, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying that Murder Falcon is a monster?
No, Murder Falcon is a falcon that murders evil. Okay. It's not a monster, but it has a metal arm and doesn't fly.
Obviously.
That's why it's a nice, That's why it's a funny moment.
Obviously.
Where Murder Falcon is in the van and they're flying through the air, and Murder Falcon's like, this is what it feels like to fly. It's a very touching moment.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Pete?
The short answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. Kim, you're
this
new
was
to the
wild.
Series.
This was just a wild thing to pick up on. What is this, issue 3?
Yeah.
So to come into this not knowing any, I was just like, oh, okay, so like music is going to defeat an evil overlord. This is insane and wild and kind of reminded me of Scott Pilgrim a little bit in regard. So it's just, I don't know that I would keep reading this, Pete, but
maybe go back and read the first issue. And then make that call.
It just felt so crazy bananas so quick.
Yeah.
It just felt like the story was, and maybe you needed the context of 1 and 2 for this to not feel as sped up, but it was very much just like drop into the world. Here's all this insane craziness. Now there are monsters. What is a murder falcon? I'm so confused.
Pete has a Murder Falcon t-shirt for you that he's not going to give you anymore.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
I'll earn it.
Hopefully.
I will say, if you haven't read the series, definitely go back and read the first issue because it was one of the best first issues that I've read all year. It's absolutely fantastic. What I liked about this one is it got back to the emotion of the first issue, which the second issue was missing a little bit.
Yeah,
so I thought that was nice, but at the same time, it is upping the complexity factor quite a bit. But it's a good series. It's really well drawn.
Yeah.
Monsters are good.
Monsters are good. I just hope that Murder Falcon is prosecuted for his crimes.
Hey, fuck you, man.
March sometime, I think they delayed
that's definitely.
It. Last one we're going to talk about, this is my pick, Mr. and Mrs. X, number 6 from Marvel Comics. I love this series. This is so good. It's by Kelly Thompson. Gambit and Rogue are married now. They're living the married life. But, of course, things go wrong at every possible opportunity. Oh, this issue, they're having a housewarming party together.
They just moved in together.
They got very subtly married. So they took their honeymoon in space.
Well, and we should say they got married in... they were at another wedding.
During somebody else's
wedding. And that wedding didn't happen. That marriage didn't happen. So they were like, we'll do it. And then they got married. And they weren't even dating.
Which is nice that they stepped up. Because when you go to a wedding, people want to see...
Yeah, they
want to
see anybody get married.
Yeah, they want to see anyone get married. Yeah. So, you know, their moment were like, anybody? And they were...
That should be a rule. If the bride or the groom is like, we're not going to do this, someone has to step forward.
Yeah, someone has to, yeah.
Or at the point when they say, are there any objections? If somebody's like, yeah, we should get married instead, then they have to do that.
Then they have to fight off.
Fight.
Yeah, they have to fight.
And
to
then
see
last bride standing, they have to get married.
Yeah.
Old-timey vice president rules.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I got you. Yeah, you're only referencing the musical Hamilton right now.
Yes,
I know. Your entire understanding of U.S. history is Hamilton, I'm assuming.
Yeah, okay, great. I don't think there's anything else.
No, that's sort of the whole story.
Well, anyway, in Mr. and Mrs. X, they are having a housewarming party. All the X-Men come over to visit them. Things go predictably wrong. Also, Rogue's powers are going a little insane. Gambit is being approached by thieves from his past. There's just so much fun character work in this and them figuring each other out as a couple on the fly while being attacked by various evil things. It's great. The series is just so much fun.
I think it really encapsulates what it's like to be married, you know? Like all this crazy shit going on while you still try to maintain a relationship, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. That's a metaphor.
Yeah, really interesting.
This is actually I guess, the first time X-Men have done any level of metaphor for anything.
Yeah, finally. Finally a metaphor on the X-Men. I like this book a lot, too. It's super fun. It reminds me of X-Men books from back when I first started reading comics where it felt like they were having fun while also living their lives together. Mm-hmm. And it feels like lately X-Men continuity has been so much of, like, details, like huge casts and a lot of like plot details. And so this felt like...
Well, also, this is bringing in some crazy old details, particularly from Gambit's history that I barely remember.
Like the Assassin's Guild and Belladonna?
Yes, all of that. Yeah. I'm not very familiar
with
that.
His first wife.
I figured that out for the writing. What I was saying is that getting into this issue, you can kind of pick up everything and all of the relationships very easily, which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I really loved it. It felt like it's like the ultimate, and I really mean this in the best way possible. It felt like the ultimate soap opera. You know, it's like all these the highest stakes possible while also trying to just like tell a relationship story in the middle of it. It was really, I liked it a lot. It made me laugh a bunch, and I enjoyed it.
They're the Ross and Rachel of the X-Men.
Yeah.
So they finally got together.
I guess.
I feel like that's a very
thing.
I fell asleep watching an episode of Friends last night, and I don't know what happened.
That's a
Thanks for sharing that story there.
And that's it for the stack, I guess.
That's how we go out.
All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
Woo! Got a short mic today, so I'm just going to come out this far.
Use Justin's mic or use my mic?
No, it's cool. It's cool, bro. I see that hand over there.
All right, downtown.
Come on
up. Going downtown.
Oh, Gremlin sweater. What's your name? What's your question?
Nice.
Hi, my name is Sean, and I asked this question last year. And I was just wondering if you guys can
Give you an answer?
You did give me an answer. It was a long answer. I was wondering if you guys can just highlight your favorite comic book memory or experience of 2018 since we won't see each other before the new year.
Nice. 2018.
So you asked that last year. That's confusing.
Yeah, you asked it about 2018 last year? Because that's fucked up. We wouldn't have known anything.
It doesn't make any sense.
I see what's going on. All right.
Got you.
What was that? You just... touched my cheek in the creepiest way possible.
I feel like we've been in the same room for too long today.
Oh, my God. I'm so skeeved out.
Did you have an answer or do you need a minute?
I need a minute after you raped me.
Oh, whoa. That's unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been drinking.
You had literally a thimble full of champagne. let's see. 2018. What a year in comics.
I don't know. What were some good comic book memories this year?
Let's see. It's all sort of a blur in a lot of ways.
I mean, one that I'll throw out there, and I don't know if this is tooting our own horn too much, but
oh boy, here we go.
Sorry, but so we do a Riverdale podcast and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina podcast. Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa is the showrunner of both, liking those podcasts. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he tweeted about it. He's clearly listened to them, and we instantly were like, oh, we didn't say anything fucked up, right?
Yeah, we got real
the
nervous.
The first point, he responded to one of our Sabrina podcasts, right? Yeah. And was like, haha, Madam Goldberg, very funny. And I was like, oh, shit, I have to listen to this entire episode right now.
Because also, don't even want to explain here what Madam Goldberg means. But
yeah,
it's,
you should
it's
explain it, Madam Goldberg.
It's very stupid. And he was like, haha, funny. I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry that you listened to that. But very, I agree with you. That was definitely a highlight.
Can I also, I think I told you guys this story, but when that happened and when he tweeted at us, it was actually after he tweeted after an episode of Riverdale, like immediately after the episode of Riverdale ended, being like, hey, follow this Riverdale podcast. This is fun. These guys do a great job. Really talk smartly about the show. Very complimentary. Very nice. I turned to my wife and I was like, oh, my God. I'm freaking out a little bit right now because Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa just tweeted about our show right after Riverdale. And she turned to me. She's like, that's great. I mean, people watch shows, okay? It's not a big deal. And I was like, okay. And then several hours later, she was like, wait, did you say Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa or Alexandria Ortezio-Cortez? And I was like, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa. She's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense why you were excited.
I mean, but also, she should have been more excited that if Alexandria Ortezio-Cortez is listening to our Riverdale podcast. That's crazy. That's even crazier. Yeah. She's much busier and has no relationship
crazy
to
crazy either way.
Yeah.
But
we need to get her on board.
I think so.
I would say
she's taking a staycation or whatever's going on, so she should have plenty of time.
Yeah,
to
we
catch
should
up
move
on.
Her down to Washington.
Yeah.
For me personally, it was I went from being like mediocre about Vision to really loving Mr. Miracle. As far as comics were concerned, I thought like that. Obviously, Murder Falcon, but like for me, like getting on board with that was such an amazing revelation and like. Such a powerful, really well-done comic from start to finish.
And you have a great T-shirt that says, I finally got on board with Vision.
No, I don't. I'm still not on board with Vision.
Oh, you're still
it's
not.
It's a super depressing, sad fucking comic. Well, I don't know why you would put yourself through that.
It's great. So is Mr. Miracle. Also sort of depressing. I feel like the rise of Tom King in this past year has been...
the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like this year is when everyone has taken notice of it. So that's very cool. I feel like Saga's the way they ended that run for this break was a highlight of 2018. That was a very intense moment. Mm-hmm. I thought. Mm-hmm. What else?
Kim, do you have anything?
I've discovered Chew this year, so that was really cool because I really am enjoying it. And I would say this is probably the coolest comic-related thing. All right.
We'll take that compliment.
Easily, yeah.
Oh, you're too nice. Great question. Definitely ask it next year if we're all still alive. Let's go over
great,
here. What's
fine.
Your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Kier. And actually, real quick, before I say my question, I just want to say it's been really fun. This is my first like full year coming to this podcast, and because my job is literally just a few blocks, and it was really rad and cool to find out there's something like this. And just want to say thank you, guys.
That's so nice.
I'm glad you found it, man.
That's really nice. Yep. But honestly, get to the question, if you could. I'm just kidding.
You're an asshole.
I know,
man.
I am.
You're
really I had an impulse to say it, and I didn't stop myself.
Cool. Kimberly mentioned, like, the moment you read or finish a comic, you just think, oh, wow, this could be easily adapted into a movie or a TV show. What was the comic that you opened, like, read and finished and just thought, yeah, man, this could easily be adapted?
Great question. First one that comes to mind for me is a sort of an older comic now, but Scalped, which was maybe Jason Aaron's first comic. When I read that, I was like, this would be a great TV show. And that was sort of right when prestige drama, cable dramas were really starting to be like what everybody watched. And I just felt like that would have been a great one.
Cool. Box Office Poison for me. I remember reading that, and it very specifically was like Reality Bites, but set in the East Village.
That was a great movie, I feel like. Box Office Poison. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So when I was reading that, not only did I love the book, and it really got me into indie side of comics and obsessed with Alex Roberts and stuff, but at the same time, it just felt like, yeah, great, this could be an indie movie very easily.
Yeah.
The book that I was... super happy, like, got some recognition like that was I Kill Giants, where that and I was like, oh, this is such a powerful take. And then when I found out it was becoming a movie, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But the book that I read that was like, I was originally just like upset that it wasn't a cartoon or wasn't something that somebody else elevated, was Concrete. I still can't believe that's not a thing. Like, it's an amazing comic. Like, why isn't an animated series? Like, why isn't anybody?
I feel it.
Alex is crying.
I'm also very sad that Concrete is not an animated series. There's a lot of philosophy in that, and there's not a lot of action. It's a lot of Concrete sitting around and thinking about things.
Right.
And I think that's part of the reason where it doesn't really adapt to a moving visual medium like that.
So I feel like that could have been a short series alongside The Max. When it was on MTV,
Liquid Television, like somewhere like...
Or like Aeon Flux.
Pair it with something, but it's such a cool, powerful thing that like...
What's the elevator pitch? So I know. Just give me like a one line or two lines.
No problem. So this dude is a regular guy, and he gets kidnapped by aliens and broken down. Then he's put back into a body that's made of concrete with alien organs inside. He goes back down to Earth, falls in love with his best friend. They sort of get together, but also sort of can't because they can't have sex because he's a concrete monster. But the aliens come back. He meets other concrete monsters, but they then go away because they're villains at the time. And he mostly just sits around and thinks about stuff.
But I think that was District 9.
Kind
of, in a way. A weird little adaptation of that.
There wasn't a lot of pondering
He basically, he becomes... you made it sound even more exciting than it usually is. It's basically he becomes a concrete monster and becomes famous because of it, and then he just kind of sits there and is famous.
And is depressed.
And he's depressed about it.
Yeah.
It's excellent. It's so good.
It is excellent. It is.
No, I love it. It's one of my favorite comics of all time.
All right.
Shut up! All right, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and Into the Spider-Verse was nigh perfect.
There you go, nigh perfect.
Now, Spider-Man was ideal, particularly going back to the original comic Spider-Verse, for that, because there have been so many variations on that over the years, and a lot of characters don't have that. But at the same time, some of the best Spider-Men are ones that came out of that. Mm. So, what character would you love to see get a Spider-Verse type? Just mega event.
Wow.
And if you want to come up with one or two new variations on the character who would come out of that, who would they be?
That's great.
Holy shit.
Great
question. That's a lot to unpack. How
would you verse?
Perfect.
Yeah, nigh perfect. Yeah. Maybe the nigh part is this joke thing you don't like.
Yeah, I agree. It's an amazing film. And me and Zelvin were just getting into the little things that maybe... but anyways. That's a tough question. It's because that happens, you know, like Spider-Verse, you know, the Venomized, there was Marvel Zombies, like they like to do that. So it's.
But I think he's saying what hero or villain, I guess, would you want to see like the multiverse every universe has a version of that hero?
The one that first comes to mind is Batman, right?
Batman.
Dude, see, mine was Joker.
Are you crying again? Are you crying?
Yeah. Are you so emotional because
I just keep
13?
Thinking about whatever happened to his parents. I don't know what it is yet. It sounds very scary.
It does seem important to know that.
No, Batman would be perfect for that, right? Like, particularly for film, because there's been so many filmic Batmans. There's so many that you could work in there, so many variations.
Plus, we would get the Adam West campy Batman back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be great.
Well, and they've already, I mean, the Elseworlds, they've done a lot of that in the DC universe.
They have,
I mean, bring them together, right?
Yeah, to have them all hang out.
That'd be fun. Yeah, have them hang out.
I feel like that's sort of happening all the time and all. Like, in the current Tom King Batman, the Batman's dad from Thomas Wayne from the other universe is showing up.
Yeah, it's the thing. They play with this trope a bunch in different ways.
The Batman who laughs.
The difference is you don't see them work together. It's always like there's Batman and then there's 15 evil Batmen.
Right.
It's never several Batmen who have to work together, and I think that's what would be interesting about that. The idea... Not to spoil too much for those of you who haven't seen Spider-Verse, but the idea of Spider-Man learning that he's not alone and he doesn't have to be alone, that there are more people like him, is a really powerful, wonderful one. And that's something that would be really interesting to see how Batman, who really likes to dig into that I'm the only person who feels my pain thing, how he would react. And I think it would be a different way that Spider-Man reacts to it. Yeah. I think that would be neat.
Right.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's the my joke answer would be like, it would be really horrible to see a bunch of shitty Cyclopses, you know, where there's just like one worse than the other, and then it's like, well, how could it be any shitty?
But there'd be definitely be some character. Good ones in there too.
Would there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like the one from our main comics universe.
No, that's not one.
That's a good one.
That's definitely not a one. But I think it would be interesting to see a bunch of Hulks. Like, what would be the variation on like Hulk's power? And like, is it one where he's not strong? He's just crazy smart, or like, how to? It would be fun to see the spectrum of different Hulks.
Mm. What about like Punishers? All the film Punishers getting together.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Thomas Jane.
Lundgren.
Yep. Dolph Lundgren.
Stevenson.
Yep.
Bernthal.
Yeah. Bernthal would be great, but after that.
Yeah. Just all of them growling at each other and
yeah, man.
Rubbing each other's guns.
Oh, yeah, they'd all be swapping guns.
What the fuck?
They'd all be swapping guns,
No, they like probably
skulls,
wouldn't. They would be like, don't touch my
they'd
gun.
They'd be like kissing each other on the lips.
Their dicks what? And guns.
They'd all be like, I'm Frankencastle. And then they'd be like,
ah,
you're Frankencastle.
You guys
like,
gotta
I'm
ruin
a monster.
Things.
Let's sew.
We're
all,
having a nice discussion.
They'd be like, "Let's sew all of our body parts together. Oh. Become a giant Frankencastle.
Body like Lundgren with a Bernthal face.
Yeah,
oh,
man, everyone's
my God.
Dream.
What just
That's a,
happened?
That's a lyric from your hip hop album.
I have a whole Salt and Pepper parody album that's all about the Punisher.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's
dirty,
very bad.
Dirty laundry. The dirtiest laundry.
The dirtiest of laundry.
Have we given away all of our...
Yeah, we got one left.
Oh, nice. We got one left. We can take one more question.
One
you,
more
sir,
question.
Right there. What's your name? What's your question?
Oh, my name's Caesar, and I have a question and, I guess, a recommendation for... A New Year's resolution for the comic book club.
Oh, wow.
The question is, again, back to Spider-Verse. Is this a new, if it being as successful as it's going to be, it has been, is it going to be a new direction for the producers like Marvel Entertainment and or goddamn Disney? Yeah, since they specialize in animated superhero movies. Perhaps
they go
whole
down the
series,
hole. Yeah,
a whole new series of animated superhero films, and also my suggestion for
resolution.
A New Year's resolution for the comic book club.
That's great.
Is yes, unless there's parental supervision.
Okay.
Peter should never host the comic book club on his own.
Wow.
What?
I saw
huge,
when you hosted on your
huge
own after.
Take
yeah.
down.
Pete LePage. Yeah.
What are you talking
about? What did you
about?
Do?
What happened? First off, I'm going to need a little bit of context. Like, why didn't you like it when I hosted alone? Like,
okay.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, we don't have to get into this.
Oh, I want to know.
We're getting into it.
This was after your lovely daughter was born.
Yes, I remember that.
And you guys weren't available, so he hosted the show.
Right.
And it was basically Pete LePage and friends
wanking
off to the Punisher for an hour.
That's actually what it was?
And he threatened... That, yes, I would do it every time I, whatever.
Wow.
And it's like a nightmare vision, you know, a nightmare where you, if you got two guys weren't in for like a month and he was only one here.
It's scary, so, right? It's
so
scary to
show.
Think about.
Again
like,
and again and
could
again.
This, oh my could God. My show turn into this?
Wow.
If these guys don't show up,
well,
that's what happens.
Let me say to you, Caesar, I can't believe you think of us as the parents of coming up. That to me is the craziest part because honestly, I would have guessed that's what the show was.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And honestly,
what
people crave it.
Yeah, some people like it. I mean,
it's like some people like you get a Neapolitan ice cream package, and it's like some people like strawberry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gluttons for punishment.
Yeah.
What's wrong with strawberry?
Gross.
What?
What are you
it's
talking
It's disgusting,
about?
Pete.
Yeah. Come on!
Thank you.
It's what? Of course you. Of course you like strawberry. Strawberry is like wanking off the Punisher. That's the ice cream equivalent.
First off, I don't like this wanking off the Punisher expression.
Talk to the fans.
Yeah, well,
talk to the fans. Remember at the top of the show, you were like, "I love the fans, fans, fans." Here's the fans coming back at you.
Yeah,
here's the fans coming
like,
back. This is
the last time I thank the fans. It's the last time. First off, fuck you.
Yeah.
Wow. Pete rarely and, says that, too.
Secondly, I would like to say, when I host it, that shit is packed. All right, no empty seats. So where? All right, so fucking suck that.
So where the fuck on that? So where the fuck are we? Why don't you?
You're lashing out at the wrong people here.
Why are you turning on us? We didn't ask the question.
I'm angry. I'm hurt that he singled me out for next year. Don't ever let Pete, you know, host. It hurts a little bit. Also, like, you know, these guys are busier than me. You know, sometimes things happen and I got to forge ahead. I could just cancel the show. But for the fans, I try to, you know, do something nice.
No.
And he says, you know what?
We don't want you at home waking up to the Punisher. We want you here waking up to the Punisher. Yeah. And don't let anyone tell you differently.
If you want to jerk off at a gun, you can jerk off at a gun.
Oh, my God. What?
Is that what we were saying?
I don't think that's what we were saying. Maybe you tuned out for a second. That's definitely not what the implication was. Not
Can
that.
I be honest, you guys? I thought coming on to like a comic book podcast, there would be very little discussion of jerking off.
I think that's your mistake. I think you misjudged that.
Damn.
I don't think we. This is the only time it's. It really is.
It's just too much. It's just too much.
I'm sorry.
To be fair, the fans said it.
I feel like there was a question.
Nope.
It was about Spider-Verse and if GD Disney was going to take over
and make that
with
happen.
More animated nonsense right. is kind of the gist of it. Am
yeah,
I right?
What's your take on it? Yeah.
I mean, if it's a success, speaking from, you know, just like experience in the TV and film world, yeah, they're going to make more. They're going to figure out a way. It's the reason why there's a Star Wars movie like every year now and why now all of a sudden they're like, we got to calm down because we're actually losing money instead of getting these like huge turnouts. But yeah, if it's successful, I guarantee you'll see Spider-Verse 2 into the whatever, like into the web or something. You know, it's just gonna
that's
keep
a good
going.
Working title.
Thank you so much.
I mean, this is I will say the problem with Sony is they do one thing right and then they immediately drive it off a cliff by trying to do it too much or trying to do it too big. They've done that every single time with the Spider-Man franchise where it becomes successful and they're like, great, now here's 36 more movies. Here we go. And then none of them work and immediately tanks all of their plans. It seems like that's already what they're doing with Spider-Verse, for better or for worse. Like, the movie is superb. If you haven't seen it, please do see it in theaters. But they've already said they want to do a sequel to it. They want to do a spinoff with just all female characters. They have another idea beyond that for an animated film. And I'll say, as a parent, and we've talked about this on the show before, who is going through the MCU movies with my kids, it's actually really refreshing and nice to have a movie that is for families that I can take my kids to. That's awesome.
When you said you were a parent, you meant of Pete, right?
Yeah, Pete, of course. It's nice to be able to take Pete to a movie and not have him ask me weird questions afterwards.
I know, exactly. Daddy Alex, where's Daddy Justin? I thought we were seeing this movie as a family.
Oh, Daddy Justin is with his real family.
It always starts.
Yes. But yeah,
Tim buys me a popcorn.
I did. I hope to someday see a movie with you so that I can actually know. Yeah. Yeah, that's why. Pete's a bad boy.
Because you touched my face the whole time.
I touched your face just once, and let me be honest, I regret it too.
You're not going to get this question out.
To Kim's point, yes, that's already happening. They are already planning way too many movies. I hope there are more animated movies that are superhero movies. It's crazy to me that there was Big Hero 6 that did really well, and they were like, great, let's never do that again.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened since, because animated movies are huge, superhero movies are huge. It feels like there should be more of them, but I don't know.
Well and also, I haven't seen in the Spider-Verse movie yet, so I real quick would say, though, I really like that this movie went all in on the continuity and the story, as opposed to so many superhero movies are like, okay, let's start from zero. Superheroes are like people, but they can fly or do something else, and they have to walk us so slowly into the story, and to have a movie to be like, no, people get it, let's be a little cool with our storytelling.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the innovation with this movie, so let's have more of that.
Absolutely. Except for the joke where they talk about the origin whole time.
Oh my God, Pete!
I don't know about this.
We haven't seen it, so get back to me.
Great. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, Pete, rise up. I know one person in the audience you're not going to pick for trivia.
Here's your comics, you son of a bitch. You fucking broke my heart, man. I thought we were cool.
Wow, that's real as fuck.
Cool. All right, so this part we give back to you, the lovely audience, except for this asshole. It's the opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, you first-hand up guy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Please, you know, for this bit, remind everybody of your name.
Hi, I'm Keir.
Keir, audience Keir. So I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Yeah, stretch it out, bro. Get ready.
You got
this.
You're riding with the king right now. Pete's the star of trivia.
Can you keep that going?
I just want to say this for the last time in 2018. Before I start saying again in 2019.
Today's trivia is on Aquaman, which was an amazing movie. I highly recommend it.
Pete saw it ahead of us. And
what?
He didn't.
What a pretentious dick to talk about seeing something ahead of people, Pete.
No, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
It's a real asshole move.
Although you are a Prime member, too. You could have saw it with me, but you didn't, so I don't know.
How
what
do you
happened.
Know if he's a Prime member?
We talked about it. All right. Here we go. In what comic did Aquaman make his first appearance? Is it A, More Fun Comics, number 73, B, Adventure Comics, number 47, or is it C, Dial M for Monkey, number 1? So it is either A, or you could pick B or C.
Definitely A.
A is correct.
Nice.
1941.
Also Green Arrow's first appearance, I think.
Oh, nice. Cool. Fun fact.
We don't have time for that kind of stuff.
Which one of these names is not a notable alias of Aquaman? Is it A, Orin? Is it B, Terra Firma? Or is it C, Mandark? So it's either A, B, or you could get $25 and pick C.
Nice. C.
C is correct.
Nice.
Well done, sir.
Orrin Hatch is Aquaman. Disgraced senator.
Here we go. Last one. Which one of these is not true about Aquaman losing his hand? Is it A, piranhas chewed it off? B, he had a water hand for a while? Or C, Dee Dee cut out the dang gum singing? So it's either A, B, or $25 is yours by picking C.
Cool. And I see what you did there, Dexter's Lab.
Oh, yay! Yeah,
wow,
got it.
Nice.
Nice.
So I think in 2019 we should make it that it's not actually the trivia questions. They need to figure out what your theme is.
Oh,
interesting. Or there's an extra gift. If they can name what the C is, they get to punch you in the gut like he did by asking that question.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, what's funny is you bring up an extra gift. I've been holding on to a secret for over 5 years that has something to do with the Punisher Shrine.
What?
And it involves an extra gift.
What, there's a mystery?
Mm-hmm.
Like a secret word?
Yeah, you can unlock it. And then you have to take a test to see if you deserve a Punisher gift.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
What
is it? Is this a test for us?
No, it's for an audience member who thinks they're Punisher worthy.
So you're saying that someone can just say, like, oh, this is the thing.
Yeah, like in a kind of like quest, if you will, if you say the right thing, it unlocks a test of wills.
How long have you had this going now? For 5 years, you said?
It's crazy.
5 years you've had a secret code in your head?
Yeah.
And this is the first time you're bringing it up?
That is correct.
You sound like a madman right now.
And let me be honest, he is. This is crazy.
Wait, so it needs to be something that somebody in the audience says on the show?
Well, if it's either an audience question or a trivia portion, an audience member who, you know, when we're addressing the audience, says something that unlocks it, they can then...
So you unlock. That's a crazy word. Yeah. As if, like, it will automatically open, like, a machine.
No. I have questions prepared for someone.
Okay, wait. So let me just set the rules really hard here. There's a clue if you just look at that pile of clothes right there.
Or is there no clue?
No. Well, it has to do with this pile, but...
Is it just somebody being like, hey, Pete, Justin sucks anyway?
Oh, that would be cool, but no.
That'd be a little too obvious based
so
on the way you
speak. So it's a code phrase?
Yeah, you have to say the correct phrase.
You have to say the code phrase. That unlocks the bonus quiz, which gives you a secret Punisher prize?
Exactly.
This is such a fun game. And let me just, for those of you watching and listening, Pete Dever has mentioned this to us at all. Like, this is no bullshit, a surprise he literally just said to us in the middle of the show, which is crazy. It's like someone being like,
what
we're
talking about, like, this is the end of the year. This is like, you know, it's, you know. So I just figured maybe now would be a good time. And you kind of almost said it. So I was like, this is as close. I've been waiting for someone to get close.
Wait,
to say,
he almost said it?
I didn't even say
when
anything.
When did he almost say it?
No, but he kind of brought it up a little bit with the prize.
How?
Oh, with a prize. Because
I said there was a secret prize.
Yeah, a secret prize. And I was like, well, this is as close. I've been waiting for somebody to say something along these lines.
Pete,
what other secrets do you have?
Yeah, are there secret prizes that are unlocked? Is there something in this box?
No.
Under the couch?
This is like if you went into your job and your boss was like, oh, by the way, if you answer a riddle, I'm going to give you $1 million. And you'd be like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I've been doing this the whole time. Like, what are you talking about?
Here's the thing. This was going to be our last show of the year, but we're going to have a show next week, and it's just going to be me and Justin trying to unlock this prize.
Yes.
Because I got to say, we should know.
Why should you know?
Because we sit next to you for years.
We're your co-hosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we know. I know as much about Punisher as you.
Yeah.
Do you?
I know more.
No way. That is not true.
Okay, in 2019, we're going to have some sort of Punisher fight.
This completely blew my mind and knocked me off whack. But as we all know, tomorrow is...
Oh, shit, I should say also, I have a secret. I have a pile of clothes at home. And if you can guess the secret of those, I'll give you a prize, too.
Dude, this is not a pile of clothes. This is my Punisher shrine.
Yeah, it's a hat, an apron, and some slippers.
There's more to it than that, my friend.
What the fuck? This guy is a mystery.
Wait. Been sitting next to you for five years. It's been sitting there.
You've been hiding something in that pile of clothes for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a person in there?
No. I would have to feed them.
Just real quick, if Justin held you down and I knocked over the pile of clothes, would we potentially find out what it is?
Is the prize right in there?
Dude, what the fuck? You would do that?
No. I'm saying if that was a scenario.
But that still wouldn't unlock the...
unlock? And that's the wrong word. It's not like there's a machine in there that will somehow open up like a magic robot or anything. Unless there is.
We gotta move on.
No, we don't.
I'm gonna talk about this for the rest of my life.
Here's the thing. Thank you guys so much for coming today, but we're not leaving until we unlock this.
Yeah, we got to unlock the mystery of Pete.
Is it in that pile, whatever this thing is?
Well, that
it is.
I can't.
It is. Yes! Fight!
For those of you at home, Alex and Pete are fake fighting, but also real fighting. And you can't take it. Not in his Murder Falcon t-shirt. Alex going through his fighting styles. 1920s strongman. Pick up your mic. That was great, guys. And not at all embarrassing.
So part of it.
It's a great point. Question from the audience. I thought those were gifts.
If you pass the test, you get to decide if you want a prize that is hidden inside or there is another prize that I keep at my home.
That sounds so creepy, Pete. That sounds so creepy.
It's like a version of The Game, the movie The Game, except it's all like...
I keep thinking, well, if I explain it, it'll sound less crazy.
No,
The more I explain it, the more crazy it sounds.
You're like, I'll make this sound normal. It's hidden under my mattress, and just you have to come over to my house and get it.
No, but it's like that mystery. Well, I can't like carry the mystery prize with me every Tuesday.
There's no doubt about it.
It's like you either can take the hidden prize or you can, you know,
come home with you.
Or I would bring it back on the day that they would be here again, and then I would give it to them.
Great.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sure. Are you happy that you brought this up?
No.
He's so sad.
I wish I didn't.
This is great. We have so many mysteries to unlock. It's 2019. I have tears in my eyes laughing so hard about this insane nonsense that Pete LePage has been hiding from us.
Oh, man.
God, I can't believe I never touched the pile of dirty clothes he had here. Should have investigated the dirty shoes he had over there.
It's not dirty. I had them professionally cleaned.
Professionally cleaned.
With the prize in them?
No.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. You go to Midtown Comics because for some reason they still sponsor the show. Yeah. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man. Good question. Let me just open up my phone here. I'm looking forward to Batman number 61 as well as Punisher number 5.
Nice. Punisher 5. Clearly a clue. That's it? That's all you have to say?
Yep.
Yeah. Any elaboration on why you're looking forward to them?
No, they've just been amazing, and I look forward to seeing where they're going.
Great. I'm looking forward to Freedom Fighters number 1, a limited series.
Yeah. That's such a
from
weird
DC,
comic.
Getting into a sort of the darker side of one of the DC multiverses, involving a universe where the Nazis won World War II, and then they did some more fucked up stuff.
Yeah, and we're going to have a review of that in our Stack podcast, which goes up in the same feed tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I'm looking forward to Defenders, the Best Defense, number 1. This has been a fun miniseries. Bring together a bunch of Marvel heroes. There's been a bunch of one-shots that are kind of related to each other, but you can read each individually. And this is bringing all of it together to finish up the story, which should be fun.
I should also say I'm looking forward to ransacking Pete's apartment tomorrow after he goes to work.
Cool. Kim, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Just check out my website, aluhu.com. I post all of my live shows here in the city that are usually either here at the Loft or over at the other pit, sometimes at Creek in the Cave in Queens or
You've
over
got
at
a lot
Armory.
Of really hilarious sketch comedy up on that website.
I do. You can check out also on my website my reel and a link that takes you to like 40-something dumb sketches I've done over the course of the last couple years, all self-produced. Most of them I wrote myself. Is the passcode something like I don't know, Pete, but I want to figure it out now.
But she doesn't
really
read comics or know what that stack of stuff is.
I just want the slippers. They look so cozy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Pete's such a mystery boy. Man now.
A couple of things before we go. As mentioned, this is our last live show of the year. We'll be back in 2019 on January 8th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our first guest is Charles Soule.
What a great start to the year.
It should be fun. So we'll be talking about the end of his run on Darth Vader, as well as plenty more stuff coming up for him, so that should be very exciting. Also, we have our Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark, and our Chilling Adventures of Sabrina podcast, Chilling Podcast of Sabrina. New episode should be going up either shortly after this or tomorrow night. Not quite sure yet, but pretty soon, so check that out.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter, and please send us a bottle of champagne on every episode. Pete gets to talking after a glass of champagne.
Yes.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And a couple of things I'm completely thrown by what just happened with this thing.
Truly.
I'm floored.
It's like the greatest magic trick. You're the piece of David Copperfield. It's like the greatest magic trick I've ever seen. For 5 years he's been thinking about this?
Yeah. At the very least, he is Hugh Jackman in that movie.
The Prestige?
Yeah.
The third part is announcing on the podcast that there's a mystery in the pile of clothes.
Pretty good. You're a classically trained actor.
Great. We're going to figure this out by the time we are back next year. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Kim for being on the show.
Yeah.
Good girl, man.
Good girl, man.
But most of all, we do want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you for coming out every single week. We appreciate it so much. Have a lovely new year. We'll see you in 2019.
See you soon. Thanks, everybody.